Shall we open our Bibles at the Epistle to the Ephesians, from which we have been studying for quite some time now? There's a lot of interruptions, and I don't know how much we've been able to retain of it. But you know, someone has said, you know, my mind is like a sieve. And I hear the word, and you know, the thing just goes through like a sieve. And somewhere else explains that at least it does some good, because, you know, when you have a sieve and you put a lot of water and stuff through it, it empties out, but it cleans the sieve anyhow. And maybe that's what we need. And we certainly, as the people of God, we need to be cleansed. And you remember the Word of God says that wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed to thy word, by the word of God, and taking heed thereunto, according to thy word. So, maybe we have to go back over some of the things that we've studied in a way by reference and so on, but we trust that our little study tonight from chapter 4, reading from verse 17 through 24, will be a blessing to us. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians, you know, is a counterpart of the Old Testament scriptures in Joshua. You remember Joshua brings before us how that the children of Israel passed over into the promised land. And you remember Joshua said that they should, there is much land to be possessed. There was a lot of things that they needed to possess and to take possession of what God had promised them. Well, here's the book of Ephesians to us who are on our way to heaven, to the church, which is the body of Christ, and referred to as the church in the heavenlies. So, as the book of Joshua was to the God's earthly people, the children of Israel, we find that the book of Ephesians is to us a heavenly people, the church in the heavenlies. And he's writing here to the Ephesian church, the Ephesian Christians, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind, having your understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been caught by him, taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new mind, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." There had been a great transformation taken with these people, the Ephesians. If you read about them and back in the Acts of the Apostles, you'll find that the Ephesians were nothing but idolaters. And you remember there's one place there in Ephesus where they gathered together and they said, "Great is Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians." And the Apostle Paul, in coming among them, found them that they were taken up with idol worship, idolatry. And you remember the Apostle Paul, in ministering to the church and bringing them before them their past condition, he writes to them in the second chapter, he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." They were not only idol worshippers, but they were dead as far as any spiritual life is concerned. They were dead to the things of God. They were alive to the things of the world. Now, our first verse here that we read together, verse 17, the apostle says, "Therefore, I say, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Therefore, I say therefore, in consideration of what God had done for them and some of the things that God had brought them into a conscious knowledge of, and to get that, we refer back to the first chapter of the Ephesian Epistle. We referred back to the first chapter, and we find there in verse 4 of chapter 1, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." They were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He says, therefore, in verse 17, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. And he reminds them of their background, that they were chosen in Christ. They did not choose Christ. Christ chose them first, and that they were awakened by the power of God as the word of God was ministered among them. And it says here that they were chosen in Christ. But not only this, it says that they were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And you know, that's nice, that's comfort to us who are the children of God, to know that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Well, then as the verse follows, the next verse says that they were predestinated, having predestinated us, chapter 1 and verse 5, having predestinated us according to the adoption of children. Before that, according to chapter 2, they were the children of wrath, even as others. But they were not only chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and how comforting that is to the children of God, to us who are believers, to know after we were saved by the grace of God, that we were chosen in Christ. God could look down through the ages, and we were chosen in Christ, and not only this, but we were predestinated. He has predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Chosen in Christ, predestinated. And you say, well, Wardenberg, do you believe in predestination? I most certainly do, my friends. I believe in predestination according to the word of God. I do not believe this fatalistic teaching under which I also was brought up, that if you're predestined to be saved, you're going to be saved. Go ahead and do what you want. This, my friend, is something that's a lie from the devil. This is something that the devil is using to blind the minds of them that believe not. But we, after we were saved by the grace of God, we know that we were predestinated according to this verse. He has predestinated us unto the adoption of children by himself. Chosen of God, predestinated by Jesus Christ. And then in verse 7 of that same chapter, we have these words, "In whom we have redemption through his blood." Not only chosen, not only predestinated, but here's the remedy for sin. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, as we read in the epistle to the Colossians. And then in verse 17, we read these words, "And God has given us that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation." God has given unto you and I the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We know precious little as it is as believers about the Word of God or about the things of God, but you know, my friend, we know a lot more than the unsaved. They know absolutely nothing. And this is referred to in one of the verses that we read of in chapter 4 about the ignorance that is in it. Unsaved people are absolutely ignorant of the things of God. The natural mind, the Word of God tells us, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are spiritually discerned. And when I was an unbeliever, in my sins, I knew nothing of the grace of God. And as I mentioned this morning, before I came to Christ and learned that He died for my sins and that God loved me, a sinner lost and ruined by the fall, before that time, I thought God hated me. And I knew nothing of the grace of God. But you know, since we have known redemption through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has not only chosen us and adopted us as His children, as we've been reading together, not only do we have redemption through His blood, but He has given us the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. And then in chapter 2, in the first verse, we find that we were quickened by the Spirit of God. And I quote again, as I did before, the apostle writing to the Ephesians, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." This was our walk, my friends, in time past before we knew Christ. We walked according to the course of this world, according, my friend, to the prince of the power of the air. We have been quickened by the Holy Spirit of God. You remember that day or that night or whenever that moment was when as a poor lost sinner you came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Though I often think of that hymn, "I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in Him a resting place, and He has made us glad. Soon as our all we ventured on the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered, and we were born of God. We were quickened of God. We were made alive of God, and we came to know and to love the Lord Jesus Christ." Then, we have another reason why we should walk, not as other Gentiles walk. In chapter 2, in verse 6, it says, "He hath raised us up together and has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And then in verse 10 of chapter 2, we find that we are His workmanship. We are the workmanship of God. We have been made children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are the workmanship of God. This isn't the work of a man. This isn't the work of the evangelist. The work of the evangelist, my friend, is to throw out the message of salvation and to invite sinners to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the workmanship of God is the Holy Spirit of God taking the message of the evangelist and applying it to the hearts of sinners and causing them to come to Him for salvation and rejoice and the knowledge of their sins forgiven. The workmanship of God. I was born and raised, my friend, in a Christian Reformed church. There's others here in like manner that were born and raised in the Christian Reformed church, and there are a lot of nice people, and there are some nice Christians among them. But you know, all that I got from this, that I had to keep the law, I had to do the best that I could, I had to join the church, I had to learn the catechism, the answers to the catechism, and when I could answer all of these questions satisfactorily, then I would be received into the membership of the church and become a member of the church. When I was a baby, I don't know how old, maybe 5 or 6 weeks, my sister's here, maybe she knows more about that. I was taken by my parents, and I was brought to the front of the church, and there was a little basin of water about the size of that flower pot. And the minister, when I was a little baby, my parents brought me up to the front, and the minister took and put a few drops of water onto his hand, and sprinkled them onto my head, and I was what they called christened, and I became a christened member of the church. Then after that was over, then the minister, he closed that little service with prayer, and he said, "We thank thee, our God," words something like this, "for this little one that has been now made a member of the body of Christ, an inheritor of the kingdom of God." Well, then when I became older, I was told that I had to take up the responsibility of church membership, and that would fit me for heaven. Well, you see, my friend, this is the workmanship of man and not of God. Thank God there came a time when I heard the gospel clearly, and I was told from the word of God that I was a sinner fit for hell only, and on my way to a lost eternity. I think of others that are in this room tonight that have a like experience that I know of. That time when they realized that all this church business and all this sprinkling and all the catechism and all the rest of it, it only confirmed us more as children of Satan, children of the devil. But thank God, when that moment came and we received Christ as our Savior, we were made the workmanship of God. You, my friend, in this meeting that are saved by the grace of God, you are a product of the workmanship of God, as God has taken His Word by the Holy Spirit of God and applied it to your heart, convicted you of your sins, and revealed Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, to you as your Savior, and by faith you became a Christian, a child of God, an inheritor of the kingdom of God. Now, we've gone through quite a little bit of our background and some of the reasons why the Apostle Paul here says here, "Therefore, for the reason of all of these things that we have been bringing before our hearts tonight, considering that all that God has done for us, and our testimony in the world," the apostle writing to the Ephesians says here, "Therefore, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, considering all that God has done for us, considering all that has been expended for us, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed for us. We have been purchased by the blood of Christ, my friend, purchased with a price untold, a price that is absolutely inestimable. We cannot find human words that will explain the price that was paid for our redemption. It was necessary for the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come down here and walk amongst men, to take Himself upon Himself the form of human flesh, as we have brought before us in Philippians chapter 2. That He came down and He took upon Him the form of a servant. And being found as in the fashion as a man, He humbled himself. This, my dear friend, was the price that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for that soul of yours and for that soul of mine. Bought with a price of blood. Bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in view of all of these facts, it says here that we should walk not as other Gentiles walk. I think those are some good reasons why we should walk not as other Gentiles walk. How do the Gentiles walk? We have it brought before us in verse 18. It says, having their understanding darkened. The Gentiles, when I refer to Gentiles, to the other Gentiles, I refer to those who are not saved, possibly have their names on church registers, have a good reputation amongst their fellow men, are good givers to the church. Maybe they walk very carefully and uprightly, some of them, but yet it says here concerning those who are not saved, who are referred to as Gentiles, that they have their understanding darkened. They have their understanding darkened. In chapter 4 of the second epistle to the Corinthians, we read these words, that God hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. God has blinded, Satan has blinded the minds of those that believe not. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in unto them. It says here that the Gentiles, they have their minds, their understanding darkened, and then more than that, it says here that they're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. There's no life in a dead person. There's no life, my friend, in a sinner that's not saved, however religiously they're dressed up, and we've met many of them in our travels around the world, people that were religiously going to hell. And some of us were in that condition. It says that their understanding is darkened, and they're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness in their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. That's some of the more evil and some of the more corrupt things that sinners practice, who being past feeling, and that means this, that they are under the influence of an anesthesia, the anesthesia of sin. Satan has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God should shine in. It says their past feeling. You know, when we go on the surgeon's table, they give us something to make us so that we're past feeling. And the surgeon puts his knife in there, whatever it is, and while we're very much alive physically, he deadens the pain by giving us an anesthesia, whether it's a local or by making us totally unconscious. We're past feeling for the time being. And you know, that's exactly what the world has done, what the Satan has done to sinners, brought them into a condition where they are past feeling, and they can commit sins that absolutely trouble them and their conscience not at all, because they are past feeling. They're under the influence of an anesthesia. Satan has blinded their minds, and it says they have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. I think of that verse of scripture which says that such were some of you. but now ye are cleansed. Now ye are sanctified. Such was some of us in this meeting in our days gone by. But it says here in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Christ, in Jesus, that ye put off, and here we are exhorted by the apostle to put off, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or the former manner of life. My dear friend, as a professing Christian, is your life different today than it was before you made a profession of faith in Christ? If you're living the same kind of a life today before you made that profession, my dear friend, put it down, my friend, that you're not saved. There must be a change of life. There must be a change of heart. There must be a change in our manner of living. And it says here, the Apostle Paul here says, that ye put off concerning the former manner of life, the old man, the old nature, the old Adamic nature wherewith we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, prone to do that and to practice that which is contrary to the Word of God. And when we were saved by the grace of God, there should be a change in our life. We're exhorted here that we're to put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, and then in verse 23, and we are to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We're to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Do you know how we get renewed? Well, I'll tell you how we get renewed in the body. We're out doing a hard day's work. We come in at night, tired, dirty, weary. And you know, the first thing we come home and say, oh boy, what I wouldn't give for a shower. And we get into the shower and get cleaned up a little bit. And then we say to the lady of the house, Mama, what have you got to eat? Have you got something good? I'm as hungry as a bear. I'm as hungry as a bear. And you know, Mama sets before us a nice dinner and we enjoy it together. And you know, after the dinner is done, we feel like a new man. We feel renewed in our body. Well, you know, I would like to apply this to the spiritual realm. That there's one way to get renewed into your body, into your spirit, your soul, and that is to have a good feast of the Word of God, read it and meditate upon it. The Old Testament prophet says that thy words were found and I did eat them, and they became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. It says here, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. As believers, as born again believers, we should allow God to be speaking to us through His Word. And as we read the Word of God, God speaks to us. You know, that's the way that God has of speaking to His children today. We read this morning, you remember, we spoke a little bit from Hebrews chapter 1, that God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto the fathers in times past by the prophets, has spoken in these last days unto us in His Son. We don't get the voice from heaven today. We have a completed canon of Scripture, my friend. The Word of God is completed. And as we read the Word of God, and as we chew it, as it were, and feed upon it, and meditate upon it, and make it part of us, we are renewed in our spirit. Is your soul sick, my friend? Is it sick because of your diet spiritually? The Word of God, my dear friend, is to be renewed by the Spirit through the reading and the absorption as the Word of God. And as I mentioned at the beginning of our little talk, if we have the excuse that we're just a sieve and the Word goes through, let it pass through the sieve. It'll keep the sieve clean anyhow. And it'll be a good testimony to the world as we allow the Word of God to have its effect in our life from day to day. And then, in verse 24, after we have put off the old man with all of its corruption and all of its lust, it says here that ye put on the new man, which is created after God, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the new man. Oh, my friend, I commend this to you tonight. As one that has traveled this road for 50 years and a little bit more, I commend to you the Word of God, the Word of His grace. Read the Bible, my friend. Make it a part of your life from day to day. It's the only thing, my dear friend, that'll feed your soul. You can read good books, and that's good. Certainly, there's good ministry to be found by some of the servants of God have put down this ministry into writing some of it so that we can understand it maybe a little bit more clearly. But do not neglect the reading of the Word of God and be renewed, as verse 23 says, in the spirit of your mind. We trust that the Lord has been speaking to each one of us here tonight who are believers. Should there be any in our midst that are not saved, my friend, these words may not mean much to you. If you're here out of Christ, without a Savior, you're like a ship upon a stormy sea without a rudder, tossed to and fro, with no certain destination as far as you're concerned, my dear friend. But the Word of God tells me, and it tells you if you read it, that if you're not saved, my friend, you're lost. If you're not saved by the grace of God, you're a lost sinner, and you need Christ. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to receive Him as your own personal Savior. And you can have the wonderful experience that I've quoted already from one of the hymns, that as soon as you're all you venture on the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit will enter and you will have peace with God. You can be saved tonight, my friend. If you're not saved, you can be saved on that seat where you're sitting. Not by being baptized like I was or sprinkled, not by learning the catechism or the answer to the catechism, and some of the answers are good. I don't discredit them altogether. But if you're trusting in anything else than the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, my friend, you're a lost sinner. And tonight, we would like to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. He wants to save you tonight. He wants to make you His own. He wants to make you His child. He wants to adopt you. Right now, if you're not saved, you're a child of the devil. You're one of the children of wrath that we read of in the epistle to the Ephesians, like the Apostle Paul reminded them that at one time they were children of wrath, even as others. Tonight, you can be made a child of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him just as you are, my friend. Charlotte Elliott, who wrote that wonderful hymn that we hear so often, when the question came, how shall I come? She penned those lovely words, just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, that Thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, our Father, for the ministry of it and for the effect that it has upon our lives as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, our God, that each one of us, that we might follow the admonition of the apostle, and that we might put off the old man and put on the new man from day to day, that we might be renewed, our Father, in the spirit of our mind as we feed upon the word of God and make it part of us from day to day. This is our desire as we separate tonight. We pray, our Father, for thy blessing upon each one, and pray thee, Lord, as we separate, that we might enjoy the blessing of God moment by moment and day by day. Remember those who will be leaving us, our Father, and traveling upon the highway. We pray for journeying mercies and ask thee, Lord, to watch over them moment by moment. So, our Father, we commit them into thy hand, and each one of us now, as we separate in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If there's any questions regarding any of these things, we may be able to give you the answers. We can always say we don't know. We'll try. If we can't answer them, there's others here that know a great deal more about the Word of God, and you'll have the benefit of all their knowledge and experience